Amen, amen, amen. We're nearing the end of this series on hope, but I want you to think about this thing. We're gonna do some. Matter of fact, Sunday morning was awesome because Sunday morning was about hope, laminations, and the Sunday after Easter, we're gonna finish it up on lamentations, not laminations. I think I'm building a boat again. Lamination in the lamination department. I was telling Sunday morning, my engineering department was either over tooling, and sometimes it was over lamination, depending on where they wanted to stick us. And so most of the time I was over lamination. And so not laminations, lamentations. All right, Bethany, make sure everybody's got one, baby. Brother Don got one, and what's that? That's right. That's why I was kind of careful while I said that. You're right. You're exactly right. There's not if you get to the point where you have no hope, then there's a problem. Amen. As long as there's breath, there's hope. All right, here we go. Now we're all cooking with gas. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, God, for this day. These people, Lord, that have come into your house to worship you, Father, and to learn of you. Help us, God, to understand what you want us to know in your word, to know how to handle it, know how to address problems, how to address the problem of no hope in people's lives, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to talk about the benefits of hope. Did you get you one? Okay, Oh, just hold on to that one. If somebody comes in, give it to them. All right. Okay. At the very beginning of this, of course, is our little anchor that we've been doing. I've been making it shorter and shorter, but what an anchor is to a ship, hope is to the soul. They both stabilize, hold steady amidst the storms of life, and every Christian has been given a secure anchor in the person of Christ. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Let me ask a question. How many have gone through trials lately? Now, let me ask you another question. How many has gone through unusual trials? How many has gone through trials that you never in a million years would have thought you'd have had to go through? Okay, so when you're going through these trials, what keeps us steady and secure is hope. You got to hope. Remember I talked about hope and faith, the difference in hope and faith? Hope is finding the plate. Faith is swinging the bat, but hope is getting you to the plate. Or excuse me, faith. I get it backwards there. Faith is knowing there's a plate, but hope is swinging the bat. Okay, so we're gonna swing the bat. Okay, we're gonna believe. We're gonna trust more than just, you know, a lot of times people just say, I'm just gonna sit back and pray about it. And usually when somebody tells me I'll just pray about it, that usually means they don't plan. Either they don't have any answer, or they never intend on helping me anyway. I've called my preacher friends before, and I said, look, I don't understand a certain situation, and I'm just needing to find somebody to agree with. And matter of fact, can you give me some pointers? And I've called them up and talked to them, expecting my brother or sister in the Lord, my fellow minister, to have these words of wisdom. And they go, you'll be okay, and we'll be praying about it. Okay. Thank you for that inspiring message. You know, at least say, I have no idea, or I've been in it before and I know it's a tough spot, and here's what God did for me, or I've seen God do such and such, and we're gonna throw some scriptures in here, and then we're going to pray about it. And remember, when anybody ever asks you to pray for them, don't just walk away and say, I'll do that. Pray for them right then. All right? I mean, when somebody says pray for, I do it. I try my best to pray for them right then and just pray, because I know when I get home and get busy and get doing things, I may forget. Plus, I'm standing, the person that's asking for prayer, if I sit there and hold, either we hold hands or we reach up to God or something, but when I'm with that person and they say pray and I pray for with them right then we're touching in agreement. Because I can tell you what, the person that asks you usually has so much invested in that they're not going to play. They're serious. about this. You know what I'm saying? So somebody asks you to pray, even if it's this. You know, if you send me a text and say, look, pray. Pray for such and such, or pray for this that's happened. You know what I put back to you? In Jesus' name. Okay? And you know what I'm doing? I put in Jesus' name. I'm saying, Lord, I agree with them, and I believe, God, you're going to move in this situation. And when you see me put in Jesus' name, I have just prayed with you immediately. Brother Haslip. Yeah, Brother Haslip got me on that one. Yeah. Okay. So here we go. Why does the Lord ask you to put your hope in him? Without a doubt, y'all say this, without a doubt, it is not for his sake, it's for mine. Okay, so listen, when God says put your hope in him, it's not for his sake, it's for ours. You see, Christ will keep you, and I'm going to kind of read some of this stuff, but I'm also going to throw in some words in between. Christ will keep you from being wrecked by the crushing events of life, and I don't know about you, but it seems like the bigger the family grows, the more the events take place. Amen? It seems like, none of that, but it seems like as your children, as their life starts changing, it brings more events. As the church grows, it brings events. As certain people, you know, have certain problems, and you're trying to help them, like somebody, you find somebody's got cancer or somebody's got some kind of deadly disease, all of a sudden, that brings a whole new avenue. You know, like she was talking about, Marina talking about somebody called in hospice. You know, when somebody tells you they're called in hospice, well, let me tell you something now. She meant because they're dying, but let me just tell you something about hospice. Just because somebody said they've called in hospice, of course, we know what that meant there. But just because they called in hospice doesn't necessarily mean they're dying. Okay, so just remember that. Because they can go off on it and come back on it, you know. But when somebody's in a position where they don't have long to live and they call in hospice, That's tight. That's bad. So you got, especially if they're not a Christian. Okay. So, and I remember not long ago, somebody called me to go to somebody's bedside. And I had seen this person off and on for years, but really never knew this person. And this person, they said, will you please go pray for this person? Go to see this person, pray for him. And I got in there and found this person was actually a lot more deadly serious than I thought it was. I mean, when they got to tell me what was wrong with this guy, I said, this ain't good. So instead of me playing around, I said, God, help me cut to the chase. I asked God, help me cut to the chase. And I told that person, the person was about my age, I said, let me ask you a question. They said, what? I said, have you talked to God about this? And they said, well, I said, well, let me ask you another question. Are you and God on talking terms? And they went, well, and I said, let me ask you another question. Do you know God? And the guy was kind of going, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I said, this is serious business, buddy. Do you know him? And he said, no, I don't. I said, well, would you like to be on a talking terms with God? Would you like to be able to know you can talk to him? He's going to hear you and know that if something was to happen, you know, everything would be cool. He said, yes, I would. He talked more to me in that little conversation than he talked to me in 5 years. And when we got through talking, we prayed. And after we prayed, he said, whoa, wow. Do I feel something? He said, this is awesome. And I went back to see him again a couple of days later. Matter of fact, the next day, and he was just excited all about God on the third day. And in a matter of the next time I went to go visit him, he couldn't even talk. The next time he was gone. So again, we don't have time to play. You know, if we know something's going on, we need to. But see, what happened was me going to see him, and I didn't understand the whole situation, but I went to go see him. By showing him Jesus and asking him about being saved without beating him with it, actually that gave him hope. And you know what? From that, what time left that he could actually converse with me, he smiled. He didn't frown because he knew God had him. Okay. So you'll be tossed about by waves and battered by the winds, but your faith in God can replace your fear. Your faith can replace your fear. Remember, just because you have faith in a circumstance doesn't mean the absence of doubt. Just because you got faith does not mean the absence of doubt. It does not mean the absence of problems. It does not mean the absence of frustration. It does not mean the absence of fear. But the more you build that faith up, and here's how you do it. We got these right here, these words here. We're going to go down. We go down these scriptures. That's how you build your faith. And as you're building your faith, Your faith will override doubt. Your faith will override frustration. Your faith will override circumstances. So it's very important that we keep repeating faith. I found myself in just last week or so in certain situations. You know, I found my flesh talking to me and going, I don't know how we're going to handle this. I don't know what's going to happen. Blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden I'm going, dude, wake up. Where's your word? Put your word out there. And then the word starts happening, and all of a sudden, you know, a whole different ball game. So here we go. Although your anchor is unseen, you can feel its pull and know it's holding you. Amen? We were fishing one Sunday for puppy drum. It was so cold we had to break the ice. We had a little old bitty boat in Trent Creek. It was so cold, whenever we went inside, I'd have to break the ice with the oar. And we were trolling. And while we were trolling, the boat stopped, got hung. And the man with me said, I was a teenager. He said, dude, we got to go on back. He said, you're hung. I said, I might be hung, but this, and I know it stopped. I said, but something don't feel right about being hung. This isn't a log. It was a humongous puppy drum. because all of a sudden that big old log went under the boat. But it stopped the boat. But you know, if you got that anchor, you can be drifting all over the place, but you only go as far as that anchor will allow. Okay? So remember, you may not know it's there, and you might not can see it, but you'll know it's there because you feel its pull. You know it's holding you. How many times have you not seen God's presence, not felt God's presence, but you didn't fall apart in a situation where everybody else was falling apart? Or you didn't lose your head while everybody else was losing their head. Why? Because an unseen anchor was holding you and pulling you back. And keeping you from drifting into that storm, drifting into that doubt, drifting into that frustration that the others had gone into. So remember this, realize this, the stronger the storm, the stronger the pull. Some of you are going, oh Lord, I've never had any situations like this before. I've never had it get this tough. I'm not sure exactly what to do. And you got to understand that God always, always has faith. And if you have faith in God, God's always got more than enough, and there's many things you would never understand the power that was coming to you if you hadn't have gone into the trial that you were in. So if all you've ever done is garden variety trial, like I had some of my family, come to me, and they had a pretty serious thing happen, but somebody in my family, and they come to me, and it was frustrating, it was hard, it seemed like it was kind of hopeless, it even could be a little bit embarrassing, and they come to me. And they said, I don't know what to do. And I said, well, you can hope in God. And then they said, you're used to this stuff. You're used to running this kind of stuff. In other words, you're saying, I have a perfect life. No problems. And so I just looked at him and said, welcome to my world. But what happened was I watched this person grow and grow and grow, and it made him a better person. He didn't realize at the time he was feeling kind of bad, but the problem was he had just been made a deacon. And if he had not stepped into that role as deacon, I don't believe he would have had that problem. But as he started saying, God, use me more, the Lord showed me something. I talked about it Sunday. I'm going to say it again right now. A lot of times we're thinking the devil is attacking us. I want you to, this is kind of semantics, but I want you to think about something. Yes, the devil may attack us. Yes, he does. But if you've noticed that when attacks get strong as you start moving forward, don't think of them as attacks. Think of them as counterattacks because you're attacking him. And so he counters. And remember this, when he sees the possibilities in your life moving forward and the potential, then he counterpunches. So as you're trying to do more for God, you say, well, I try to do more for God. The more I try to do for God, the harder it gets. Why? Because remember, Satan is not attacking. He's counterattacking because you're moving forward. Now, if you're just sitting back doing nothing, yeah, he's attacking. But if you're moving forward, he's counterattacking. So to me, it tells me something good's happening. Keep moving. God's got this. All right. So remember, the stronger the storm, the stronger the pull. No matter what storm you may be presently enduring, no matter what it feels like, even if it feels like you're being drug apart, what storm you might soon be encountering, if your anchor is Jesus Christ, your anchor will hold. There's extraordinary benefits awaiting for the one who holds on to this hope. These benefits are promises based on the promises of God's word. So benefits both in the present life and in the life to come. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. This is one of the most important statements I'm going to make all night. Jesus would not have sacrificed his life if it would not have benefited our life. Now I'm getting ready to blow you away. Sometimes we think we've been too rough, we've been too harsh, we've been too wrong, we've said the wrong thing. How can we hope? Listen again carefully. Jesus would not have sacrificed his life if it would not have benefited our life. How humbling is it to realize that you cannot earn or deserve the benefits of hope? They are a gift of grace to us based on the Lord's great love for us. Wow. Wow. So that tells me that, you know what, maybe I haven't done the best. Maybe that's why I'm in the storm, because I haven't done the best I could have done. Or maybe God's allowing the storm to get me put back in the right direction, to get my mind back where it should be. No matter what, I can tell you, there's a lot of stuff God does for us we don't deserve. There's stuff I do for my kids. They don't deserve it. Amen? Was Bethany saying amen? I thought it was you, Barbara. There's a lot of stuff we do for our kids that they don't deserve it. And there's things that I do for my spouse that she doesn't deserve, and there's things she does for me that I don't deserve. It's called agape. Agape, God's love. Okay? So, remember, I'm not hoping on me, because if I hope on me, we got a problem. I'm hoping on God. He says, put your hope in the Lord, for the Lord with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. Psalm 130:7. So now, when you feel uncertain about life, how many's ever felt uncertain about life? When you feel uncertain about life, when usually what I have discovered is I drift into uncharted waters. I may not have my anchor down. I may just be going across. You know, my GPS. Sometimes I went to Fuquay Arena Saturday for Emmaus, and it was It took me 2 hours and 15 minutes to get there, and it took me 2 hours and 30 minutes to get back, because they had changed the roads and I hadn't updated my Garmin in a couple of months. And so my Garmin was going, turn right, and there was nowhere to turn. So I said, obviously it must mean that place right up there. So I pull up there and turn, and they go, recalculating. Before I got all up in this big old clover and I was going back and forth, that thing started going, recalculating. Recalculating. And I said, I have to get to Grifton tonight sometime, Garmin. And so finally, after I drove all this way out of the way, and she was going, and then she finally just quit talking to me. And I said, I see that now. I see where. Well, I can tell you one thing that God doesn't do. When God's leading me, God don't go recalculating. Recalculating. I think he looks at me sometimes and does this though. Yeah, Garmin will get you like that. All right. Oh, okay. Okay, so when you feel uncertain about life, you're in uncharted courses, meaning you know, I don't feel so bad about things if I've been there before. And matter of fact, if I've done it two or three different ways, I know two or three different ways to get out of it. You know, it might not be comfortable, but I don't feel so bad about it. But when I get in uncharted courses, like my kinfolk that got to me and said, I'm in an uncharted course, but you're used to doing it. Okay, thanks. What are you trying to tell me? Okay. The Lord wants you to look to Him as your anchor and to rely on His compass, His biblical promises to change your course. Remember, God never says recalculating. All right. Jesus supernaturally fed 5,000. He walked on the water. He raised the dead. He performed so many miracles. Since Jesus is God, if He's your anchor, He will hold you secure and fulfill every promise. I thought it was pretty cool. I'm going to a Christian university, and I ordered some books because I thought I could get by with not getting these books because they kept putting all this stuff right there in front of me, and I was calling it right off the line. I was going, and then all of a sudden I read for this week's assignment. I saw all this stuff. So well, you don't even need the books. Linda said, get the books. Of course, every husband should be listening to their wife, you know, but get the books. And so Sunday night I look and I see read pages 1 through 31. Today's the first day of this week. Read 31 pages. Then go back and do 20 pages of work. And so I said, oh no. And so I went to order my books on Sunday and I had to rush them. $18 to get them rushed here so they'll be here today. They were here today. But the cool thing was, this is a biblical college, a Christian college, Lee University. And what was so awesome was, it kept saying order status, what was going on. And on Monday, it didn't say order filled, it said order fulfilled. I just thought that was awesome. Fulfilled. Okay. Ba-boom. All right, since Jesus God, He's your anchor, He'll hold you, and He will fulfill every promise. So here we go. Here's the promises. You got any questions, let me know. We're gonna run through it kind of quick. You know, I don't know about you, but I see people all the time that have lost their joy. You know, Satan, one of his biggest things he wants to do is he wants to take away your joy. If he can get your joy, if he can zap your joy, then he can do all this other stuff. Kind of like joy is the, you know, weeping endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. My salvation doesn't bring happiness. My salvation brings joy. There's a difference in joy and happiness. Happiness, the root word is happening. Happiness comes from happenings. Joy is based on a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is sure. It is unsinkable. It is awesome. And so Satan wants to zap our joy. So here we go. It provides you joy in living. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. And that word patient doesn't mean you're sitting there going, okay, you got 5 more minutes, Lord. Okay, can we get it done tonight? I really could use a little break here. It's not counting the time. That word patience is how you act while you're waiting on God. How you act while you're waiting on God. I have to admit, sometimes I'm not acting so good while I'm waiting on God. Have you ever thrown a spiritual temper tantrum? I don't mean jumping all up and down, rolling on the floor, but just, Lord, if you'd help me out here. And he's going, David, if you'd get out of the way, I would. Okay. That's right. I have discovered that I am my own worst enemy. Amen. All right. Through whom we have gained access by faith in this grace. Remember, it's grace that we have this hope in which we now stand. We're standing in grace. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Romans 5:2. Remember, one of the primary things Satan wants to do is zap your joy. But remember, if you're basing your joy, which should not be this way, but if you're basing your joy on a set of circumstances, he will zap it. But if you're basing your joy on the relationship with God, he will not zap your joy. All right? Now, generates faith. His blessed hope generates faith and love in us. We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints, the faith and the love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel. Wow. Awesome. Absolutely awesome. So hope helps me maintain my joy. Hope also helps me generate faith and love. Matter of fact, let me show you something about what hope does. Watch this. See that dollar? Now you want to really make it awesome with your grandchildren, have a fun time. I showed Annalene and Emmy this, and this lasted for about a week. I said, "See George Washington, his head up." They said, "Yeah," and I said, "Watch this." And they said, "He's upside down, Pawpaw. How'd you do that?" I said, "Watch. See him down there? Watch this." Yeah, so every time they ride by the house, I see one of them holding up their dollar going. Okay. Now, this says, this note, this script. Yeah, now you. This script is legal tender for all debts, public and private. What it's telling me is, this is a script. This is paper. This is words that are guaranteeing that someplace over by Fort Knox, there is a dollar's worth of gold to back this up. I know. Okay. That's probably about $2.50, but that's okay. $0.25. Alright. Alright. Let's just hold that one off, that thought off. Look, the point I'm trying to make is, if I owed you a dollar, would you expect me to ride all the way to Fort Knox and get a dollar's worth of gold and bring it to you? No. Matter of fact, it's really pretty cool is if the guy says, "I'll take $500 for that car," and I'll say, "Well, I'll give you $400 cash," and I pull out, of course, this is dollar bills, but still, look, so I say, "You know what? I got $400 right here. You take $400 cash right now, and when you hold it, look, there's no gold. But I hold it in front of him and go, "You know what? I think I can do that." And so I hand him script. The gold is not here. It's a promise of gold. Now, I'm in bad fix. The devil's trying to steal my joy. I'm in affliction. But I can pull out the script. And I can read, but I can be joyful in hope, patient in tribulation, faithful in prayer. Romans 12:12. Wow. Now all of a sudden, look, have I seen God? Have I seen heaven? Have I seen his angels? Have I seen all this being dispatched when I'm talking his word? No. But guess what? I got the legal tender. Wow. That's awesome. So now, here we go. Let's go ahead. Where were we at? Joy. Number 3. He calls you to live a pure life. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. 1 John 3:3. It inspires you to preserve with endurance, or persevere, excuse me. I'm still thinking about laminations. Hold on. Hold on, I'll try to think of one. That's right, endure. So persevere with endurance. We continually remember before our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Now there's been times where You're waiting for something to happen, and it just ain't happened. But you know what? Our God is so powerful that all he's got to do is just speak the word. And what took months to accumulate can be gone just like that. Or what we needed can be right there just like that. You remember the story I told about the poor widow woman living in the woods, and she had 10, 12 children, and she didn't know how she was going to feed them. And so she went out on the porch and she started praying, God, I got to feed my children. I got a dozen of them. They need food. And I don't know what we're going to do, God. You got to help me. You got to help me. You got to help me. And he said, I trust you, God, because you've never let me down. I trust you to take care of me. And then she just worshiped God. She said, I thank you, God, you're going to meet my needs. And so she goes back in the house. She didn't know there was two atheist hunters walking through the woods and heard her pray. And they said, let's play a joke on that old woman. And so they went and bought a 50-pound bag of flour, a 50-pound bag of sugar. They bought all kinds of stuff and brought it and set it on her porch the next morning. She walked out and she said, you have heard my prayer, God. And she jumps around, glory to God, glory to God. You heard my prayer, glory to God. And those guys walked up and said, what you doing? She said, God heard my prayer. And she went, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. And she said, and they said, lady, we hate to tell you this. God ain't got anything to do with this. Said, we heard your prayers, we heard you talking, and we decided we'd play a joke, and we brought it to you. And so she jumped and said, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, you answered my prayers. And they said, lady, didn't you hear us? We said, we brought it to you. She said, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, you answered my prayers, and you used the devil as your delivery boy. That's right. So, it inspires you to persevere with endurance. Persevere is more of a attitude you can think of, and endurance is actually you're under the gun. You are under the gun. You are feeling the pain. You are going for it. You know. Oh yeah, awesome movie. I can't remember. Okay, how many's ever been depressed? Now remember, there's a depressing circumstances. There is moments of depression in our mind. Then there is a depressed spirit, and then there's actually clinical depression, and so you got all these kind of depressions going on. But I find in my own life there's depressing circumstances. But once I get a handle on it, I can move beyond. I don't let it latch on. And while I'm swimming by, I've learned to, okay, you keep on going. Don't let it hit you or latch on to you. But it uplifts your, and that's why, and here's what David called it. He called it downcast. Depressed. My downcast soul. It uplifts your downcast soul. Or it actually helps you fight depression. Why are you depressed, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior, my God. Here's the key right here. If you can learn to praise God in your worst of circumstances, amazing things happen. Amazing. 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 I remember my wife died. I remember saying, God, I don't understand. This hurts like I've never known hurt before, but I will yet praise you. I will praise the Lord. I will praise you. You know that. Y'all have had loss in your lives. You've lost spouses, or you've lost others, lost your son. And what you do is you find out it's amazing what praise. We sing a song, it's amazing what praising will do. If you can praise, praise counteracts. Praise actually, you want to say, well, how can I keep that depressing event from latching on to me and causing depression? Simply by praising God, because praise releases the hold of depression. Wow, that's awesome. So here we go. Now again, you got clinical depression. There may come a time where you might need to take something, but that's okay, but you still praise God. I mean, you know, you may have heart problems. I'm still going to praise God even if the doctor's giving me some medicine for my heart. Amen? I was so excited this morning because I went to the doctor, and this is the third, in the last three visits to Dr. Young. Three visits ago, I was starting to lose weight, and I was at 290. Two visits ago, I was 265. Today I was 249. That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. God's awesome. I've asked God to help me. I'm doing the God diet. You know what I'm saying? God, you got to help me. God, you got to help me. God, you got to help me. I'm not doing it. Before, I just tried it on my own. I pray about this all the time. God, you got to help me. You got to help me keep my big mouth shut. I also found a lip balm. They make a lip balm now. If you'll put it on your lips, it'll help suppress your appetite. Did you know that? It'll help you lose weight. It's a lip balm. You can buy it at any hardware store. It's called Crazy Glue. A bomb. Crazy Glue will take care of it too. All right. Yeah, that'll work too. All right. Also, if your spouse is actually, you know, if your spouse is trying to lose weight and they're aggravating, you say, here, try some of this. The pastor said it works good. Not only does it help them lose weight, but it helps you have peace. Okay. It causes you to praise God. As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. Psalm 71:14. Anchors your soul. We have this anchor. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul. This is what we read the very first one. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Now, we talked about this on Sunday, too, because we talked about hope a lot on Sunday. 8, it generates boldness in you. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Didn't say very stupid. Very bold. There's a difference. Bold doesn't, you can be bold without being stupid. Okay? Bold means you're not ashamed to bring forth what you need to bring forth at the time. Okay? Whatever God's wanting you to do, God can give you the boldness for it. 9, it develops your patience. If we have hope for what we do not have here, we wait for it patiently again. That's how you respond while you're waiting. Then, finally, it establishes your security and safety. You'll be secure because there is hope. You will look about you and take your rest in safety. Job 11:18. So I want you to think about this. Now, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Although seagoing vessels require 3 or more anchors and different kind of anchors, in Christ, a Christian has an all-purpose anchor. Remember showing those pictures of those anchors? And Christ was every one of them? Okay. Who has taken hold of heaven for us, and he secures it there, and at the same time he holds us secure through every situation here. Sunday morning, talking about the anchor, the Anchorius. The Anchorius was the man who got in a little boat in front of the big ship because the big ship couldn't necessarily get into the harbor, and he would carry the big ship anchor, and he would go into the harbor and find a safe place. He would drop it in that safe place. So although the ship was outside of the harbor, the anchor was secure inside the harbor, which meant that the ship couldn't go but so far, the storms couldn't do but so much, it wouldn't run into anybody. In the same way, although we're here, harbor's heaven, although we're here, Jesus has already gone and put our anchor in heaven. He's gone behind the curtain. He's already entered in first. He is the firstborn among the dead. He's there. He's already put our anchor, so we're safe and secure. Although we're not in the harbor yet, we still can, or in port, we still are not going to be tossed to and fro, but so much because we've got that anchor. Amen? I love this. At the same time, he holds us secure through every situation here. When he was tested, he was victorious over the most violent storms. He withstood the ferocious winds that the army of hell sent against him. He was strong enough to withstand the heaviest of stress. He's at Gethsemane. He was so distressed and so depressed that he knows what depression is because he was depressed in Gethsemane. He was so under so much pressure that the capillaries in his skin burst. And he sweat drops of blood. There's people that do that. You see, sometimes they'll be under so much pressure that they will sweat blood because the capillaries up at the skin will rupture. DC, when he was born, and of course now they would do things a lot different, but this was way on back 33 years ago, and he was actually breaking his mama's pelvis. And so they were trying to, she wanted a natural childbirth, and so He stuck the forceps in to get him and went right across his eye. And when he was born, he had this great little big red mark right here and right here. And then they put the suction on his head, and the doctor literally just yanked him out. And when he come out, he had sucked it on this side. So for about a week, he looked like Gumby. And I looked over and said, I said, "What have you done to my son?" He said, "Nothing." I said, "He looks like Gumby." He said, "He'll be all right." And so it did. It all went back down. But whenever he got upset, especially when he was younger, but you watch, if he gets upset or if he gets really into something and he's really giving it all he's got, you watch right here. Those capillaries rise and you see like a little strawberry. It's done it ever since he was born. And so that's why I can tell when he's really, really hot or when he's really, really frustrated or when he's really, really getting into something. We were putting these things up that day. I think you might have seen it, Eddie, where we're putting these things up. He had that little red thing there because we were working pretty hard getting these things, these sound barriers up. And so, again, though, people can get so under pressure. Their belly hurts. Their blood pressure goes up. When their blood pressure goes up, there's your capillaries bursting. So he had that stress. He knows what it's like. And the heaviest of stress without breaking. His holding power is without question. That right there is worth the admission to get in here tonight. His holding power is without question. Wow. Doesn't mean I'm not going to question. But his holding power is without question. The strong powers that are coming against us, the winds and the waves, whatever. But then there's that strong road, that connector. Remember that road we talked about? Not rope, road. It connects the anchor to the line, to the chain. That road that connects the believer to Jesus is our saving faith. And it said, how many believe you're saved? Do you know the same faith that lets you believe you're saved? That same faith is the same faith that says, "I know I've got hope in God. I got hope. I don't have to have some fancy formula. I got hope in Him. I got these words right here I can look at." So hold on. God's got this. And He's getting ready to move us into a priceless destination, heaven. And just remember, our anchor is already there. Wow. That's powerful. Our anchor's already there. We're in the harbor, but the road is not going to break because the road is our faith. R-O-D-E, road, is not going to faith. There's a song we used to sing years ago, and I can't remember all the words, but I got a few of them here. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. Y'all knew you'd fit. You probably know that. Well, go ahead and sing it. If y'all know it, sing it with him. Hope you know the words. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. He's already there. Awesome. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, you're alive and well on the throne, Father, and we know, Lord, that you are working in our midst. You're doing something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. God, we thank you. In the midst of all these terrorist attacks that are going on, in the midst of all this other stuff that's going on, we have an anchor, and we can trust this anchor to hold us. We thank you, God, for everything you do for us right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. Come on back Sunday morning. We're going to have a good time. Remember, services, normally we have to tell you it starts at 10:30, but now we're already starting at 10:30 every week. So just come on in. And remember, if you can tell people, I was trying to keep it kind of quiet, and I thought about it, said, nah, I better not. Joseph's communion. The guy's going to drive 3 hours here to do this for us. It's probably one of the most powerful things I have ever seen. If God will do something for you in this. I'm going to tell you though, it's your walk. When they did a Joseph's communion, the guy was so filled up, he had theatrical makeup on, so you couldn't even recognize who he was. And so I was supposed to lead him in. I would mean lead in by talking. And so I'm talking, and he was hid. I didn't know where he was hid. And I was just told, go back in this back room and just walk through the back room and stand back there until we call you back out. So I go into the back room. The lights are down low. It's just candles. And I go back in the back room, and I always got this very dim light. And so I'm waiting. I said, well, where did he go? And about the time I turned, and there he was in the dark in the corner, he was going, shh. But it's hard to be quiet when you're trying to grab the ceiling. Yeah, but it's going to be awesome. I've tried to get here many, many times, and finally this time he went in and said, we can be here, so it's going to be awesome. Yeah, yeah. Of course, Connie. Yeah, Connie, Tommy. Yeah. So this Sunday morning, it's our Easter program is going. We're going to have praise and worship, of course, but then we're going to go right in to this Joseph communion. And it's going to be awesome. And I'm looking forward. Bring as many people as you can. Just tell them that it's something very, very special. And if anybody remembers the communion that Linda did, the Mary's communion, it's kind of like the Mary's communion, but it's not. Okay, and y'all remember how touching the Mary's communion was. But guys, y'all seen Mary's communion. You've seen Joseph's communion. And Joseph's communion is smoking. Yeah, matter of fact, we're probably going to have to put some stuff on the ceiling to keep from catching it on fire. That's right. That's right. And I can tell you something. If you've never been to Emmaus and you get the opportunity to go. And I'm going to tell you something. Those people in Emmaus are no joke. I was talking with the guys and I was asking them for prayer. And those guys, remember how they got you in that chair? Well, Saturday, there was about 20 of them got me in a chair, and they were praying for me, and they had my hands, and do you know, I felt something start hitting me. You know what it was? Tears. These guys were praying for me, and their tears were falling. If that's not awesome, I've never had that happen before. That was so powerful. For those tears, and these are bikers and brawny guys, but they love God. Yeah, construction workers, but they love God, and they are so awesome. They are so awesome. That's why I've done it so much. I just feel it's just so awesome. All right, any more thoughts? Anything anybody wants to talk about this? You got anything you want to say about it? Anything you want to mention? Don't forget Sunday morning, and also Saturday at 2:00. The ladies are having an Easter egg hunt for the kids. So even if you don't have any kids, come on out and help. It'll be cool. It'll be awesome. It's so awesome to watch the kids. And I'd like to have an Easter egg hunt for the gray-headed people. You can put prizes in there like Bengay, Effordent, Preparation H. Yeah. Metamucil. Yeah, I found the Metamucil egg. Yeah, the egg slice. You know, I used to tell people, I used to take people on tours. I never took the big celebrities on tour. I took the little celebrities on tour, but I took everybody else on tour at Fountain, and I took some of the senators. I didn't take Walter Jones. I took all the North Carolina senators and stuff. But what I was going to say is that it was really cool because I would tell them these boats, and I come by, and there was two boats that stayed in there a lot. I think one of them they were actually storing there, so they kept it. It was really cool. But there was one boat that said, "Gotta go." That was the name on the back, "Gotta go." And they said, "Well, whose boat is this?" I said, "This is the president of the Ex-Lax Corporation." And then Rusty Wallace's boat was in there. And he kept breaking that thing. He actually broke two world records in two different categories with his boats. But and I weren't got to go. But it was in there, and I tell them, and it's always so funny. Cause I say, y'all heard about that incident in Walmart, didn't you, with the Rusty Wallace stuff? And I hear people go, yeah. And I go, yeah. The lady tried on the Rusty Wallace T-shirt, and she hit the wall four times before she could get it off. Okay, let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you, Lord, for your hope. We thank you, Lord, that we can have joy in spite of the circumstances. We thank you that we can have love. We can have agape. Agape has nothing to do with circumstances. And we had it shown to us by Jesus on the cross. Circumstances were totally against him in that garden, in Pilate's hall, on that cross. Well, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus for what you're doing for us. And Lord, help us, Lord, have that love, that agape, that joy, not based on circumstances, that hope that helps us keep going forward. Lord, not just gets us to the plate, but helps us swing that bat. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen. Amen.